time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy for the Crown Forklifts Encore range. Guaranteed reliability, superior quality. Check them out at crown.com. No risk, no worries.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia and welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hi, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave. Big news coming from you in just a moment. Massive. Wow, what an exciting really? Day in your rather pedestrian life. This will be fantastic. Oh. So much to get through. Big TV news floating
Very
around.
Big TV news.
Over at Channel 10, there's shows being launched on a daily basis. We had Ninja Turtle finals last night or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
that's true on 9. Yeah, we got it's all happening.
You'll bring us up to speed with some reality.
I thought I might do that. Yes, because it's better to talk about stuff like that in this era, I think. Let's get some happy news out there.
We've got some royal watch. Guess what the Queen's favourite film is?
What?
Flash Gordon.
What?
You didn't see that coming, did you?
Did not see that coming at all.
We're
going to
ask you about the film that you love that might surprise us all. There's a bit of this going around on
the
internet at
the
moment. It's a bit of fun. We want in.
That's true. We're going to get into our apocalypse watch. Don't worry about that. We have a new club, COVID entrant.
That means a new jingle too, I believe.
I believe we've got one with a little bit of an Espanol feel.
All right, and maybe a grab from Smash Mouth live in concert.
Oh, my God.
want to hear this to believe it. It's all good. Couple
Not
of great
a concert
guests.
You'd want, yeah.
Yeah, Craig Rucastle, of course, formerly of Chase of Fame, and he's so many other projects. But he's still on about our
what do you mean he's still on about?
He's got to bang on about this till we do something about it, I think. So it's probably best just to give in.
Well, let's hear what he has to say because I think he's got a very interesting climate challenge show.
All right, it's an exciting new show. It debuts tonight on the ABC. We'll get to the bottom
worth
of that.
Worth watching, very worthwhile.
Andy Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Now, he's a quadruple threat, this bloke. He can talk about film, he can talk about TV, including my own show, Front
That's
Bar,
true.
Which he slipped into seamlessly, and also an author. An author of children's books, and that's what we're here to talk about today. He's got another one out. We'll get to the bottom of that.
And they're really good children's books, I have to say.
They're top shelf. They're well reviewed.
Well done.
And most of them go over my head.
Yeah. But, I believe that. I believe that to be true.
But the kids just can't get enough. I want to talk about George Clooney and his encounter. Oh. I'm being as kind as I can.
Yeah.
With Ghislaine Maxwell.
It might get a little saucy.
Conversation. Kids in the car. Well, there's no kids in the car because you're not in the car. At least in Victoria.
True.
Anyway, we'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. There's so much to wade through. On today's show, Dave, congratulations. The Gets
Thank
officially
you,
passed.
Thank you.
200,000 Ks today.
Yeah.
It would have been a teary moment. Where
was.
Were you? Crossing the equator?
Literally.
Or
pulling into the radio station. It happened. It's like it knew. His home, Gets. I'm a one owner, so the car's only. I'm the only one to ever drive it. 14 years ago, I bought it brand new to drive to work. And today, a big milestone. Yeah, 200,000 kilometres.
Took a photo of the odometer?
I did a live stream on the Instagram. I had it all set up in the car because I knew it was going to come. So I'm driving through the city and like, here
Tell
we
us
go.
Some of your favourite moments in the car. Have you made love in the car? Did you, you and your wife
have a bit too small
sex
for that.
It's a very small car.
One small car of the year, 2003. I took it to the air show once. I remember that. So I had it sitting right next to the 747 Qantas jumbo. That was pretty cool. That was back in the day.
So everyone's there to ogle the latest in machinery.
Yep.
And engineering, and you're there in the Gets.
Yep. I've done plenty of road
It's not very
trips.
Top Gun, is it, Dave?
Not really, but you know what? It's a sensible car, and those people that own these cars, they know how sensible they are. It costs me nothing to run it. It's so super cheap. Not that I'm a
Do
tight
they still
ass.
Make them? They still make the Gets?
No, they don't make them anymore, so they're collector's item.
So you can't upgrade.
I think they're
Would
still
you accept
right.
an offer? Would you accept an offer on the Gets?
How much are you prepared to pay?
I'll give you a packet of burger rings and half a paddle pop.
No sale.
No
sales,
mate. Please,
should it be in like a showbiz museum? Or
what
something
I wanted to do, I wanted to drive it around Australia. Bert's I wanted Wigger. To do town for town. I thought maybe with Kennedy Malloy, I could stop off in all these great, regional towns and take people for a drive around town. And
I think we'd have to put on a trailer, mate. I don't know if we'd make the trip. It's a bit ambitious.
It's a bit ambitious. What about one of those crash-up derbies?
I don't want to see it destroyed. Do I?
No, it's not going to happen. Mick, you're in a chipper mood. You're in a good mood. What's going on? You look well-fed.
All right. So, yes, I know where you're going with this. So I've been complaining all week that these stupid hoarders.
Yep. You didn't shop very well.
They fished me out at Coles. So right. I've been at home on my own all week. I haven't left the house. I haven't gone out for various reasons. And I've just had no food. Anyway, today I found up the back of the fridge a old steak.
Hang on.
And the date on the steak said, it read, the 11th of the 8th, 2020.
So you sent that through, 2020.
Oh, that's today.
That's today.
You sent that through to us on our WhatsApp and we all went, oh, my God, what's
live
he
on
doing?
The edge. What's happening? Is the clock ticking? Anyway, I thought I'll have it for dinner. And then I'm sitting there going, it's just getting older. So then I've woofed it for lunch. I couldn't wait.
I saw it on your grill. You had the hot coals going on your grill.
I grilled it within an inch of its life.
Yeah. And what vegetables did you
have?
What's your side dish?
Well, I was thinking of baby carrots or baby potatoes.
You sent a photo of what you had as the accompaniment.
It was a can of Coke.
Yeah, sugar.
And that was it. But boy, was it good.
Do you have sauce? Do you have pepper and salt?
Yeah, what are you...
I didn't have anything handy, no. So I just woofed that.
Wow.
Just
the steak. I really want to arrange a shop for you.
There's a bit of natural grist on my grill.
Oh,
gives it a bit of flavour.
I'll give it the seasoning.
Did you have one of your yogos, your little chocolate yogurts?
Shut up, Dave.
Oh, that was out of date, by the way, the one you ate last time. Your dairy snack that you showed us that you ate, which is for, like, four-year-old children.
Well, they're for Fred and Lenny, but they're not here. You snooze, you lose, boys. Yeah. I've still got one left, but that's dated the 4th.
Of the 8th.
It's last week.
I'm going to have a crack.
It's a dairy product. Is that not enough to frighten you?
Live on the edge. Get Matty Dow in here. That guy knows his discount milks.
Oh, yeah.
He'll tell me.
Yeah.
Hey, find out. If Matty Dow would eat the dairy snack pack on the 20th, I'll do it.
We'll get him
do it live on air. I'll do it now, and we'll see how I'm feeling by the end of the show. What do you reckon?
All right, yeah, let's do it.
Let's go.
He'll do it in the break. In the meantime, stand by because, Mick, I don't know if you know what happened on The Masked Singer. They've already unmasked one of the singers, the echidna. Okay. He's been defrilled.
Can I have a guess? Desmond Tutu.
No.
But not far off some of the stupid guesses the judges
Boutros,
had.
Boutros Ghali. No.
We'll reveal in just a moment, thanks to Crown Forklifts, the Encore range, which is guaranteed reliability, superior quality.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. She's read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source, so you don't have to. Jane Kennedy's Entertainment Report.
Oh, it was a big night of TV last night in Australia.
Far away.
How about
what happened?
We finally have an Australian Ninja Warrior champion.
It only took 4 seasons. 3 seasons without a winner.
That's right.
That's just bad TV.
Well, the winner scored $400,000. Let's have a listen to the crowning and the winner announced.
The winner of Australian Ninja Warrior 2020, Ben Paulson! The first to conquer Mount Midoriyama and claim the prize.
Yes, actually 3 other people managed to conquer that mountain, Midoriyama.
Well, you know what I heard today.
But he was the fastest. Right. What?
Yeah, but he wasn't the last one to climb it. So when you saw it, apparently I'm reading an article today that says I'm reading an article that says they all climbed it. Like, he climbed it first, but they didn't give each other's times out and then just shoved him onto the end to make it look like he was came over at the last bit.
They edited it to make it a bit more triumphant.
Just saying, I don't want to spoil the magic for you out there,
wow,
kids.
I'll tell you what, his girlfriend was also one of the top 8. That is one fit couple.
Yeah.
Gee, they'd be fun.
Wouldn't they?
Sorry, got to go to bed.
Hi, guys, what are we doing tonight?
Sorry, getting up at 5 to do a triathlon.
Gonna have a spinach smoothie and go to bed at 8. Okay.
Anyway, congratulations. Did you see any of the Masked Singer last night? It was...
Oh, my God.
Everyone's gone bonkers.
What do you think the answer to that question is? No. What do you think?
I'm guessing not.
In all honesty.
No.
It was fun. It was fun to watch for various reasons.
Needles in my eyes.
No, it's in this time of in Australia, we need something to really just go, what the hell was that? What is going on? We need
it's
a bit
Hughie
of a laugh.
Dancing, that's my only reason to watch
yes.
this, to watch Hughie
yes.
dancing.
Yes, Dave, you
and
saw
And singing
it?
As well. Like, he's singing along to these pop
he's
songs.
He's singing along.
What are you doing?
He's looking very earnest. He's very complimentary. We go, that was beautiful.
He's got young
like
kids, hasn't he? That's got to be embarrassing.
He has got young kids.
They're going to get bullied in the schoolyard.
Yeah. No, they won't.
Is that your dad, Dave Hughes?
It is what he's wearing. They've got. Yeah. He's letting them dress him yeah. in the most. He looks like he was wearing some curtains last night.
It's
like shiny curtains.
In the early 70s.
So they've already piffed someone.
What?
Someone's already gone, Mick.
Can they piff them all at the same time? Who went?
No. Well, first of all, I'm going to let you hear, and you'll understand why this singer in inverted commas was piffed. Here's the singing. Someone's very brave too. If you can't sing, I wouldn't take on George Michael, all but right. just saying. Anyway, have a listen to this.
Oh, when that love comes down with our devotion. Well, it takes a strong man, baby, but I'm showing you the door. Because I got to have faith.
Okay, so that was an echidna. And I did say at the time, apart from the voice being, I go, that's got to be a sports person.
Mm.
I went, lacks a little energy in my like sort of was standing in one spot, right? Some of the suggestions of who it would be were insane, not just for that, but across the board, all right. Let's have a listen to some suggestions over the show of what some of the contestants were.
I'm thinking Russell Crowe.
I've got Taylor Swift vibes, to be honest. What are we doing here? Princess Mary.
The amazing singing. It's obviously Celine Dion.
Why not Hugh Jackman? You know what?
I think it's John Travolta.
All right. It could be John Travolta.
Why not Hugh Jackman? Because he wouldn't do it.
Right. What about John Travolta? His wife just died. Yeah. I don't think he would be doing it either. I actually heard someone suggest
Taylor
Peter
Swift.
Allen. Taylor Swift, admittedly, that was for another contestant. But
who was the
Do you know who was under the mask? Take
no
it
idea.
Off, they say. Take it off. Dave?
Scotty Cam.
No.
No.
It was this person.
It was this person.
It's Mark Villaposa!
Over the top.
What the one?
Well, that's bad. That's not.
It was Mark.
If you're going to get a former tennis player, what about Wally Masur? If you can't get Wally Masur, Mark Edmondson. If you can't get Mark Edmondson, one of the Woodies, either of the Woodies. But what the hell is that?
Well, I'll tell you what. The triple, so the clues come out, so included, I'm an Olympian. Well, he was an Olympian in tennis, I guess. I guess you could say. He was really bummed out, though. He was really pissed off, I think, that he left early. Because I think he fancies himself as a really good singer.
All right, so is the series over now? Or?
No, was the first night. There's rumours who other. There was the Queen, people saying that's Kate Miller-Heidke. The Dragonfly, Sophie Monk, apparently. That's what they're saying.
What are you doing? Just ruining the series for everyone?
No, I'm not ruining it. People, that's what the whole point of the show is. You have a guess. Someone said, is it Celine Dion? Don't think so. More likely to be Christine Arnoux than Celine Dion. This is the fun of it.
What about Jeffrey Dahmer? Is Jeffrey Dahmer, could he be the dragonfly?
Is he alive
dragonfly?
Still?
No. Could he be the dragonfly?
Did he die or is he alive?
Oh,
I don't know.
It's just, anyway, just as fanciful as Hugh Jackman.
Someone else. Russell Crowe. Yeah, this is what
chance.
Russell's up to. Yeah. he's currently a nun and going, he goes, I might just join the masked singer out
but
of the
Sam
book.
Neill. I don't think Sam Neill should
Sam Neill. That would be. See, then I'd be impressed. But take the. Anyway, it doesn't.
No, you know what? You know what would be impressive? Bob friggin' Dylan.
Yeah.
Are you taking off? Oh, my God, it's Bob Dylan. Oh, my God, it's Neil Young.
Yeah.
But,
oh my
but God. They do have people like that in America, in the American version, because they've got this all over the place.
They have people like Bob Dylan, do they?
Might be stretching it a little. There, anyway.
All right, so how long will this one go on for?
A while. And
by the way, who hosts that show?
Oscar.
Oscar. So, do you reckon Channel 10 have got enough Osher Ginsberg?
There is a lot
on
there
at the moment. So,
well, he's very good at what he does.
He is good.
So, do we need him on? No wonder they're sacking everyone else at Channel 10. They're
making room, it's been a bad day at 10.
They're making room for Osher. More shows for Osher. So, he's got Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor.
Yep. Bachelorette, The Masked Singer.
And he was moonlighting on your show last night as well, I noticed.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah, he was on Have You Been Paying Attention last night as well.
Is Tommy G anything? Is he the dragonfly? Tommy G.
Now, my lips are sealed. I wouldn't know. But the dancing looked very stiffly like Tommy G.
Tommy G could almost... I'd like to see him and Husey in a dance hall. You know, white man, daggy dad, dance off.
That'd be cool.
I'd watch 10 episodes of that. Yeah. Just Husey dancing.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tune in and have a look tonight?
Oh, I will.
We'll see who gets piffed tonight. There's all new contestants tonight. Stand by.
Hey, we've got a Royal Watch coming up in just a moment.
Yes.
And we're going to find out what the Queen's favourite movie is as well. Right after this, Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Craig Rucastle, he's going to join us in about 10, 15 minutes. We've got
I feel queasy.
Yeah,
I feel
wrong?
Queasy. It's all I'm saying.
This is because we're talking about use-by dates on food, and you ate a tub of child's yogurt food stuff that was fourth of the eighth that it was supposed to be eaten by.
Yeah, I know. I've probably gone too hard on that.
How are you feeling?
Not
you look
good.
A bit pasty.
I've got a kind of metallic taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that was the dirty spoon you ate it with.
Yeah.
Well, to find dirty, it's clean by comparison. some of the other stuff.
What's going on? We're going to have to airlift you out of that house.
Who knows? What is it time for? What are we doing?
Oh, we're going to do another royal update.
Royal update. Yes. Here we go.
Another royal update.
No, I'm into these at the moment. I really like them. Please give me some Meghan Markle news. There's not enough.
No, I've got some Meghan Markle news.
Oh, you got some? Bloody
hell. Yeah. She has a confession. She wrote a fan letter.
Yep.
As a 14-year-old.
Yep.
And it was to someone on Baywatch. Now, I love this because she says, you know, that she loves doing that. She wrote a fan letter to Yasmin Bleeth. Do you remember her?
I do indeed.
Yes, she was a very hot-looking girl.
I'm quite partial to the odd Baywatch episode. Yeah. If you want to go through my VHS collection.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a couple of well-thumbed.
Here's the problem with everyone who was on Baywatch then. Apart from Pammy, I don't know if all the women are holding up so well.
Jeez Louise, give him a chance.
You know when you see that goes in your feed and it goes, you won't believe what this Baywatch star looks like now. Right. You know those things that pop up? You won't believe what hot chick now looks like.
Remember Baywatch in Australia?
Yes, yeah. I do. Anyway, Yasmin Bleeth is now 52.
What do you mean?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
you could be as like some like
jogging down the beach in my lolly bags in slow mo.
No, you'd be
girls,
You'd be the bad guy, the one they have to chase, the dealer, the sad. No, the hobo. The hobo they find on the beach, homeless on Bondi.
Mick Malloy.
He's being rolled back in by greenies. Being rolled
crawling along the beach.
Yeah. G'day, everybody.
Yay.
Where's
smashed.
My Kevinoshka? refusing to swim between the flags. Just ignore him. Ignore him.
Trying to get into icebergs. Let me in.
Doing a bomb off the balcony of icebergs.
Get me the best table in the whole joint.
Being harpooned by the Nishin Maru. Sending out.
Well.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway,
I would have been good at that. Who was he in the Australian version?
Peter Phelps.
Peter Phelps.
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
Phelpsy.
That rings a bell. I think Phelpsy
was. Phelpsy for sure.
I've just thrown that out there. I don't know.
That feels right.
Hey, so listen, that was her first fan letter, was to Yasmin Bleeth from Baywatch. Your first fan letter was to Prince Edward. Dave, your first fan letter.
Daryl Summers.
Fan letter.
Daryl Summers.
I think mine was to Kiss Army.
Wow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maddie's in the room because we're about to get to Maddie. Maddie, who was your first fan letter to?
It would have been Graham Gould at 4GY of Gympie.
Wow.
just asking how I could break into radio.
What did he say?
Did he offer plenty of encouragement. He said that my a number of demos come across my desk, but this is the most impressive by far.
Many.
That's a good story.
Yes. What else have we got?
Is it time for the Queen news?
Yes, it is.
You have another Megan story or
not? Oh, yes, actually, I did have another Meghan Markle story.
And
the headline was that it's a toilet story regarding Meghan.
Oh, no.
Apparently, Prince Harry, when they first started dating and they went to Africa, was really impressed that she had a whiz in the bush. No, he was really impressed because she went, I'll just go and whip. Like, she took all her makeup off with a wipe. And was happy in the tent where they were camping, glamping, which had its own toilet, by the way. But she went, oh, no, I'm just going to go into the bush because I'm just so...
Did she take reading material? How do you know it was a whiz?
No, she just had a whiz.
Out there taking a dump.
I don't know, but he was very impressed. He said...
She should be out there parking away from them.
This is
on the Serengeti.
This is in the new book.
Here we are. Here she is. You see Meghan Markle? She's just behind the tree. She backs
one. Oh, my goodness. No.
The picture.
She was doing wee, that's all.
As the sun goes down over the...
No. Yeah. Anyway, he was very impressed, and that's when they fell in love at the end.
Well, that's what he had to have.
We're going to have to come back with what we're going to talk about next, because Jay's winding us up.
Boom.
All right, well, we'll find out what the Queen's favourite movie is after this.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Andy Lee, author, he's going to join us in the second hour. And joining us right now from Fight for Planet, it's our climate challenge, which is starting tonight, 8:30 on ABC and iView. It's Craig Rootcastle on Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Craig. How are you?
Good to be here, guys.
Thanks for
joining
us.
Great to see you.
How's our carbon footprint in radio? Do we do a good job?
Is this probably not too bad. You guys just sit in a room talking to a thing. You're probably pretty good, actually. You know, yeah, not too bad. Better than TV.
Why? What's wrong with TV?
We travel around all over the place. The bizarre part about doing this show, actually, is to reduce our carbon footprint. We're kind of engaging with all these different families around Australia. So we went, well, we won't fly in every time we want to talk to them. We'll do it via Skype.
Mm.
And we did this before coronavirus. And now it just looks like we filmed the whole show in coronavirus because we're talking to people via Skype.
Anyway.
It felt really weird at the time, but now it's kind of normal.
The premise for the show, Fight for Planet A, Climate Change, tell us what you're achieving and what you're studying here.
It's looking at, you know, we've been talking about climate change for many years. We're looking at, you know, our carbon footprint, seeing how you can reduce it, what creates it. Australia's got a massive carbon footprint, one of the biggest in the world per person. So we're looking at how you can change that.
I'm not giving up meat.
You don't have to.
I know you're
tired. This is the show for you. No, yeah, we do episode 3 is for you, Mick. Okay, we look at carbon footprint of food, right? And we had people yelling at us, "Don't do that." People hate it when you tell them to change what they eat. I tell you, and I know that I am not a vegetarian or vegan. I am very much trying to reduce my footprint, but it's still like a bit of meat. So we look at all the different options.
Instead of eating a big steak, I'll have a rissole.
Craig, can you explain for people who might not realise that why that eating beef is an issue?
Look, beef and lamb unfortunately create massive amounts of methane, which is a greenhouse gas when they are just wandering around in kind of, you know, and eating. Now, the interesting thing is that there are hopefully some solutions which will actually get us to the point where we can have carbon neutral steaks, and, you know, then Mick and
How
I will be happy, to be honest.
How do you
what
do
if
that?
I raise my own cow?
What if you raise your own cow?
What if they eat different stuff? Can they eat different type of grass or eat different stuff so they don't have a big emission out their backside?
Yeah, well, we've discovered there's actually a seaweed that can be eaten, which gets rid of pretty much all the emissions and actually makes them grow quicker, so farmers will love it. The problem is it's not yet at a scale where we can get it to all the cows. So, but there are farms in Victoria that grow carbon neutral beef, and there's some from Queensland. So there are solutions out there. So we look at all of them. We kind of look at, you know,
what's
meats
the big
versus
ones?
Meats.
What are the big ones for reducing
what should
our
we
carbon
avoid?
Footprint? What
yeah.
can we do that without really destroying our way of life?
This is it. One of the things about COVID-19, right, is everyone talks about the fact that it's led to a drop in our emissions, right?
Yep.
I don't want that to be the approach. I don't want to drop our emissions by everybody living at home and not going out there and having a terrible economy. That's not the solution. You know, if we can actually, for instance, in Australia, if we can start using renewable energies, if you can charge your car or, you know, use a hybrid or charge your car using renewable energies, You can drive all you like. I want to see it. So we've got. I want Melbourne to be packed, gridlock traffic. Everyone to be swearing about how packed it is, yet creating no carbon emissions.
In their electric cars.
So the electric cars. But what if I want a Tesla?
Home,
I want a
home
Tesla.
Should be
but,
for edgy loners, dangerous loners.
Exactly.
Unabomber types. That's right. Who should be at home
That's
on
it.
Your own.
Exactly.
I want to buy a Tesla, but they're too expensive.
I know, and I'd love to drive one too, but they are too expensive. That's one of the things. We also look at cheaper. There are cheaper electric cars, but they're still too expensive. And this is one of the reasons. We look at the show, we look at electric cars, and for
this
most people, you can't get it yet. And that's because we've got very few policies in this country that actually promote them. Like, personally, I've got no off-street parking, and there's no areas around my neighbourhood that even have a charger. How would I get an electric car? You know,
so
we need
politicians
some help from
should
others.
Be watching your show. The government should be acting upon
this. They
should
be, and we chase a few of them in the show, so they'll probably watch
I've
to
heard
see
that.
How did
Scott Morrison
segways.
React?
I thought segways were going to be the answer. What happened to that?
That's the solution, Mick. If everyone just drives is on a segway, we solve the problem, mate. No. It's not quite there.
Will but, Scott Morrison do something, Craig? You approached him when he was
Morrison,
on the beach?
Look, he took an absolute runner. He saw me.
Did he?
Took a big
Hang
runner.
On. You're saying I promised a ran.
I was quite shocked. I was quite shocked by it. I reckon I could have caught him, but you know how he likes the Sharks, the Cronulla Sharks? I reckon he might have got a few of their forwards into the feds that defend
really?
Him now. They were pretty tough, actually, to be honest.
Now, Craig, is it fair to say you're up to some of your old tricks in this show in that you are door-stopping politics? You're making a giant nuisance of yourself with politicians, which is my favourite thing in the world.
We do make a giant
nuisance
of ourselves.
Watching you turn up at Parliament House or door-stopping a politician, can we expect a bit of that?
Yes, there's definitely a bit of that. There's definitely a bit of kind of going into big companies with a few props and stunts.
Mining companies? Do they come up on your radar?
Some gas companies in there.
What do you say to a mining company? What can they? You talk about one of your audiences, obviously the general public, and how we can modify our lives. What's your mantra to big business and to mining companies?
Well, they should be doing the same thing. Okay, so let's look. The biggest increase in our emissions is kind of the natural gas that's being dug up in Australia, right? It's the biggest increase.
Sure.
Now, the thing is that we tell them you guys can't put mercury in the ocean, you can't pump, lead into the air. But we don't say anything about they pump millions and millions of tons of carbon emissions in the air. We do nothing. We say to them nothing, And we go, well, why isn't it part of your business that you've also got to do something about that, I'm not going to ask people to change what they're doing themselves and not also go to the biggest companies that are creating the biggest problems. So that's part of it as well.
And they've got profits. So how do you do that when they're making
profits.
Money?
And the irony is we always talk about jobs, right? If you got these big companies to actually offset some of their emissions, it would lead to far more jobs in Australia rather than the money going back overseas. So, win-win.
Mick, you had a big question before. Sorry, you were going to ask Craig. You say, can you still drink beer? And I want to know, can I still drink wine? Is that okay?
We did actually look at beer. It actually does pretty well. I was pretty sure as well.
There's a carbon footprint.
I'm doing my bit for the economy.
It's not too bad. We line up all these different foods and get people to try and have a guess. Lots of people thought beer was going to be the worst. It's actually not too bad. There's some surprising elements from there, which I was quite relieved about because during the corona period,
lockdown.
I put it to you that we're very lucky that the surface of this planet is 70% water. Or we would have already gummed it up by now. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, it's very true. It's very true. It's also very lucky because the water's taking most of the heat that we're creating, but at some point that's going to come back on us. So we've got to do something about it.
But not in my lifetime, right? Am I right?
Exactly. That's the attitude, Mick. That's it. Yes, exactly. Mick, are you trying to run to be Prime Minister, mate? Because that's pretty much the same line they're using.
All right, that's what I'll do. Mate, it's great to catch
tonight.
Up with you. Fight for planet. Yeah.
Our climate challenge.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
8:30 tonight, ABC TV and iView. Watch it.
See you, guys.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Andy Lee. Not far away, about 10, 15 minutes from now. Song Whisperer coming up too.
He's like royalty in this country.
By the way,
it's my link back to your royal watch. You've buried the lead, Jane Kennedy. There's a massive story.
I've been saving it, as a matter of fact.
It's a ripping story. The Queen. I'm going to do it. You've missed the boat. Sorry. The train has left the station. You were on it.
You go ahead.
I've got this. Guess what the Queen's favourite film is. You can imagine. What do you think?
I was thinking
something
royal. Yeah. Yes.
Roman Holiday.
What was it? Dun, 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 dun. What's that running film?
The English Patient or something like that.
Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire? You know what? You'd think you'd be
warm, wouldn't you? That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
But you're not. It's Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon?
I am not making this up. The Queen, it's her favourite film. She watches it with her grandchildren every Christmas.
The actor, wow. How do you know?
Because
Brian Blessed, who was in it, he said she told him.
Yep, it was just one of those stories. It was something she loves. And who? I just go, that's just one of the great
that
stories.
That is out there. I would not have thought
so I'm
that.
Reading, I'm reading that. And I'm also reading, I'm on the, what is it? The
Twitter.
Internet? Twitter. I'm on the Twitter.
Dad.
And I've got some kind of, what do you call them? A
notification.
A thread.
Oh, yep.
I'm on a thread. They're cool.
Right.
And so I'm navigating the thread.
I'm in there, Jane.
All right.
And no, it's about films that you'd be surprised that you like, that people would go, I had no idea you would like that film. So it was inspired by The Queen, and then Judd Apatow has retweeted this thing. And it's all films are going, don't. The thesis is for every really terrible film out there, there's someone who loves it. There's someone who goes, that's my favourite film. And I thought, 133353, this would be a good avenue for us to explore. Thank you to The Queen. What's a film that you're more than likely embarrassed to say that you like? And Jane, you got a couple.
Do you want to do the rounds?
In fact, you put one out on the show 2 days ago.
I said Mall Cop with Kevin James.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. I think he's really funny, and I just love...
He was on a Segway.
So he's on a Segway around a shopping centre in a mall. It just makes me... And the other film that... And we were stuck somewhere on a holiday, and it was the only DVD that was around, and it was Jack and Jill by Adam Sandler.
Never seen it.
We should almost have a moratorium on Adam Sandler.
No, I love his films. Adam Sandler plays both Jack and Jill, who are a twin brother and sister.
Hey, but you know why I always defend Adam Sandler films? Because your highbrow film critics will always go, tell you this, I'm always guaranteed at least a couple of full-throated laughs. Which
so
is
you see what I mean? That's what I mean.
Even in a crap film, I can still lose my mind over one or two
thank you.
Moments. Awesome, eh?
What
Juice
about
Bigelow
you?
For me.
Juice Bigelow. Juice Bigelow. Right? I love that too. That's
it's
fun.
A male gigolo who has to... Well, he's not even supposed to be.
Well, who stars in that? What's
it.
His name again? Who stars in Juice Bigelow?
God,
what's
don't
his name?
Do this
to
me.
Hang on. I'll Google it.
I'll get it in a minute. Yeah. But he's a
Jay,
funny
we
guy.
Can't hear you.
He's
go on air, Jay.
Underrated.
Rob Schneider is
Jay. Yeah, that's right. Rob Schneider. He's a great guy.
So,
Juice Bigelow.
That would be one
funny.
For me. Is Maddie there? Oh, Maddie had a good one.
He's stepped out. I've got one for you, though. What about Joe Dirt?
Oh,
there was a movie about 20 years ago. It was David Spade.
David Spade.
It's from the Adam Sandler sort of camp as well.
Any David Spade film, there's always laughs in it as well.
I like it a lot. Jay, you're on the line now. Have you got a film, one of those?
Anything that involves The Rock. I will watch anything that has The Rock in it.
Tooth Fairy?
Absolutely. If The Rock's in it, I'm watching it.
That's one of The Rock's finest, I have to tell you.
I'm here.
Hey, Maddie.
Yes.
What was yours?
It was Air America with Robert Downey Jr. and Mel Gibson. Very underrated.
And why do you like
underrated,
that?
Oh, just, the secret war in Vietnam and Laos.
Wow, that's great.
Nixon era, very interesting.
All right, let's have a go.
Oh, we've got some good callers.
Let's go with Corey.
Yep, hello, Corey. Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
What's the movie, mate?
Nicolas Cage, Gone in 60 Seconds. They had the original years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
And all my non-car friends absolutely hate it. All my car friends absolutely love it. And they made an industry out of Shelby Mustangs because of it.
That's hilarious.
All right. Corey, so if you're
brilliant. $250,000 for some of these cars, it's obscene.
Yeah.
There's a theme running here. Should we go to John from Brisbane?
Sure. Fire
Hello,
away.
John. Thanks. Yeah, John, what movie do you think is slightly underrated?
It's the old Australian, probably, 80s, street racing, Running on Empty.
Oh, Running on Empty?
So many, so many classic lines in it that one of my mates have watched it about 20 or 30 times, him
really?
And I, and quote so many lines from it.
That's hilarious. Hang on. Oh, running
good call.
On
can we go to Craig, please? Yeah. Craig, this is, I love this film. I know I shouldn't. Craig, yeah, what's the film, buddy?
Every Which Way But Loose with Clint Eastwood and Clyde.
It's got
Clyde the orangutan.
Yep. With Clyde the orangutan, which punches people in the face.
Yeah.
Now, when the orangutan punches someone in the face,
okay,
you know you're in a good film.
Yeah. I'm guessing with laws today, you wouldn't be able to make that movie on the animal safety laws. How many orangutans did they go through? That's funny.
I like it. That's a good one. Do you know what? I went to a friend of mine's. And you know how I found out he had a girlfriend?
How?
I've walked into his house and I've gone, hi, Simon, how are you? He goes, yeah, good. I said, so are you seeing anyone at the moment? He's going, no, don't be stupid. I go, really? Well, why is Babette's Feast and Fried Green Tomatoes sitting on your TV set?
Oh, both he excellent
goes,
films,
oh,
by
I
the
like
way.
I like those films. All right, we better take a break. We'll take some more calls, though. 1-3-3-5-3 and get involved.
Yeah.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We have Jay, the Song Whisperer, not too far away, but taking calls. 1-3-3-5-3. Lots of interest in this.
We're talking about films you like that you probably shouldn't. Terry's on the line. Terry, what's the film, buddy?
Paint Your Wagon, of all things.
Oh, I love it.
Hang on.
Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin in a musical western. Who's that, how do you pitch
well,
that?
Well, that's great. It's a win-win.
I was born.
Oh, that's very good.
Jeez. Star.
Gee,
unbelievable
got the
film.
Baritone happening.
And I think it got Rob Evans' career up and running. So well done to you, Terry. Stuart.
G'day, Stuart. Guys.
What's the film, buddy?
This is back in the day pre-pads, laptops and TVs in every bedroom. Yes.
Yeah.
My daughter went to a friend's place and was given a copy of Grease 2.
Hang on, I'm getting uptight now.
There's a ring-out action for this film.
She then became that obsessed with it and played it every minute of the day that the DVD had to disappear one night.
Would you say she was a big Maxwell Caulfield fan who played the role of Danny
well
Zuko?
Well done, Mick.
Thank you.
That's very good. Yes. I don't believe you. No, you remember that name.
No,
it was Maxwell Caulfield.
I remember it. And then he had a small role in
He was in Dynasty.
The remake of Dynasty.
Why, anyway, you sound a little obsessed with Maxwell.
Ooh, boyfriend.
Let's just say I studied him for some time as an actor.
Right.
I just thought he had
the chops.
Some pizzazz.
Yeah. He was good. All right. Thank you very much, Terry. Thank you, Stuart. Time for this bloke.
Jay, the Song Whisperer.
He just had a certain presence, I thought.
Yeah,
it was like
he had
a young Brando. Like a young
lot of
Brando.
Big tan. Caramel-coloured hair. Yeah, his hair was very...
He was always nicely groomed and had nicely pressed shirt.
Ooh, I'd stop now if I was
turned
you.
Turned himself out. He was crisp.
Okay.
He's still acting. He's in a. He's getting ready to play somebody named Rex in an unreleased film called Those Who Wander.
Mm. Unreleased is the...
Unreleased, that's his middle name. Okay, what's the synopsis, please?
All right, this is a guy studying a highly technical, specific skill, but he lacks one basic crucial element. He's a baker without flour. He's a carpenter without a hammer. He's a painter without paint. He's a chimney sweep without a broom. What he lacks in resources, he makes up for with determination and self-belief.
Is that, he's a midnight toker?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Is he saying, I'm a joker, I'm a midnight toker.
Yeah, the Joker. Yeah.
Joker.
The Joker.
The Joker.
Joker.
It is not.
Well, what's the point then? Dave?
Did you say there was a baker? Did you say something? Oh, I'm just thinking Baker Street. One of the best sax in song ever. No?
Should a saxophone have a solo? I'm not sure.
Oh, tell that to everyone in the 80s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apart from the E Street.
Part. Elmo's St. Elmo's Fire. Tell that.
Oh, yes. Elmo's Fire. Let's do a sax day.
Let's do a sax day.
Saxophone.
Yeah.
Saxophone day. What about you, Kennedy? You haven't had a crack at this yet.
Yes.
It's not Baker Street, by the way, Danger.
Is it? Chim Chimney.
Oh, my God.
Chim Chimney.
On what basis?
It is not literally about chimney sweeps.
I tell you because what, you mentioned it.
You go have a lie down.
Yeah. No, we Punch mentioned the clues.
353.
Yeah.
And we'll take this up with the general public.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And coming up in this hour, Andy Lee.
Oh, I know him.
Hamish and Andy's podcast, which is going gangbusters, joins us. Also of Front Bar Fame.
Front Bar Fame. And also a very successful children's author.
Got that right. He's queuing up the
man of many talents.
Cannot wait. Mac McLaughlin. We had him on the other day. He's coming on to talk about a very special moment in Australian history, especially for anyone, for wartime buffs.
Very interesting story.
The VC has been posthumously awarded, which is so rare. It's such a big episode. And for our Tasmanian listeners who would already know the story, we're going to outline the exploits of one of your finest who's posthumously received a VC. It's a great moment and we'll go over it in fine detail.
We will indeed. And we will also tap in and find out a little bit of news about George Clooney that I don't think Emil will be happy with. And I've been predicting this for a while. I don't
Trouble
think this is going to end well. Trouble at Mill.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Song Whisperer.
I think I know it. Synopsis, please, again.
This is a guy studying a highly technical, specific skill, but he lacks one basic crucial element. He's a baker without flour. He's a carpenter without a hammer. He's a painter without paint. He's a chimney sweep without a broom. What he lacks in resources, he makes up for with determination and self-belief.
He's good. What about All Stars? Smash Mouth.
Oh, well, somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. The timing of mentioning this is interesting, Mick.
Well,
just quickly, should we? Well, Smash Mouth.
Well, we've got it here. So basically, there was a huge bike rally in. I'm guessing that's a no. Is it Song Whisperer?
It is a no. It's not Smash.
All right. So there's it's in Sturgis, it's in America, it's in North Dakota. The 250,000 bicyclists from all over America converge. Smash Mouth do a concert. And he's getting heckled, and I think things are being thrown at him by a pretty rowdy bunch. Let's say they're cyclists, motorbike riders from all around Australia. He dirties up, but I want you to have a listen to what happens at the end, because as he has a confrontation with someone in the audience, they turn on him and eventually heckle him, and the heckle is hilarious, and then still manage to join in for the sing-along. It's one of the most brilliant moments in musical history. Please enjoy Smash Mouth live at Sturgis.
You throw one more piece of shit on the stage, I'm going to come find your ass, I'm going to beat your ass, whoever the fuck you are out there, okay? You want to be a badass? Come up here, come on. Walk your badass up here, come on. You bring your ass on stage, whoever's throwing shit at me, I will tell you right now, I will beat the fuck out of you, okay? You're a pussy punk, okay? You're ruining the show for thousands of people right now, because I'm going to walk off stage, and guess what? You're paying for it, motherfucker, okay?
Just play
All-Star,
you bitch.
Oh, my God.
One of the great heckles of all time.
As it wasn't an audience.
The band started up in the background trying to egg him on. Okay, well, I think we're done here. Just play All-Star, you bitch.
Is there not an issue, too, that those 250 bikers were not wearing masks? This is another issue.
250,000 of them in town not wearing masks. And there's also no one at that concert.
No.
Mind you, if you're going to take out anyone, it may as well be an audience at Smash Mouth. That's what you call a self-cleaning oven.
That is bizarre.
All right, let's get into the calls. Jason,
hey,
who?
Guys, I think it's Tom Petty, Won't Back Down.
Oh.
Ooh.
Jeez.
Oh, so you're close.
So close, but not correct.
No!
Oh.
But very interesting. Fella. Very interesting.
Close, but no cigar. Read them and weep. Waiter, well, check, please. Don't let the door knob bang you on the ass on the way out.
Hey, we've got a Marty now, Mickey. Hello, yes. Marty.
Hey, go, guys.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you heard the clues earlier. What do you think the song is?
Come on, Marty.
I think it might be Pretty Fly for a White Guy from the Offspring. Say I'm pretty fly for a white
guy. Yeah, okay.
No.
He's pretty confident.
That is a very close.
He's just knocked that on his head.
Close as well.
Jeez. I'm just sorry, Marty. Brutal.
Very close.
Not to worry. Christian. Christian, where are you calling from, mate?
Booker Bay.
Where's Booker Bay?
Near Central Coast. On the peninsula.
That's near Woi Woi.
Don't get so defensive about it, mate.
Yeah, sorry.
Near Woi Woi.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yamina. Beautiful part of the world.
Right, it is, mate. Mate, I might come and stay with you for a while. Do you mind?
Yes.
I won't let
Well,
you
if the border's open, you can go there, Mick.
Yeah.
Christian, what's your guess?
Is it about 1927, If I Could Do Anything?
Oh,
ooh, that's a good... I haven't heard that for a while.
This is my karaoke song, Christian.
Yeah, this is a good one for you.
This is. I sing this. I sing this with both hands on the microphone stand.
Yeah.
I need my Darryl
Braithwaite.
Phone.
I do it my Darryl Braithwaite style.
Really?
Yeah, it's lovely.
I was going to go like this with my phone, see? Oh, yeah. Pull it up.
Perfect.
I like it.
They're perfect. Mm. I love it.
You should come along next time I do karaoke.
Correct. Oh, well, I'd be privileged to do that.
No!
I'll bring you up for
Sorry, Christian. Hang on. Christian,
no Christian good, was buddy. Very upset.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Christian, a slab of Brick Lane coming your way, mate. What do you want, the lager or the pale ale?
Pale ale, please. That'd be awesome.
Pale ale coming your way, big fella.
He was
Ask
upset.
And ye shall receive. Adam's on the line. Adam, song, please.
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, good.
Song, please.
Bad English, When I See You Smile.
Oh.
I sung this once
again. Oh, this is obviously Dangerous Dave's karaoke song.
Dangerous Dave. Big power ballad. I like it.
It is a big power ballad. Not correct.
Not correct. No.
I have no idea why he chose that, but never mind.
No dice, Adam. Come on, Hayden.
I reckon it's Learning to Fly by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Interesting. I'm learning to fly.
Lacking unusual elements.
He's learning to fly, but he hasn't got wings. So is he like a carpenter without a hammer? Is he a painter without paint?
Oh, Jane, my
a chimney sweep without a broom.
Wow,
chimney.
He is all of those things. He's correct.
Hey, okay, Hayden.
Boom.
You got it.
Who do you want to thank, Hayden? Do you want to thank anyone or...
Yeah, I'd like to thank Melbourne being in lockdown, so I've got nothing to do all day but listen to
Turf
Ah, yes, Hayden.
What's he win, Dave?
He's got $100 to spend at the pub and bar.
Yeah.
Gift voucher coming your way, thanks to Woolies. That's coming your way. We'll get you some Brick Lane as well. So, all things Hayden. Yeah, yeah.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Learning to Fly, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. That was the Song Whisperer song. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy, Jane
I don't
Kennedy.
Know if it's a seagull.
Oh, it sounded like seagull. A bird to us. It might have been a pigeon.
Somebody going like this.
Oh, sounded like an albatross.
Maybe it was. Yeah.
It sounded like an albatross.
Or
to
a
me.
Great condor.
Or a penguin that no,
don't
was
think
lost.
A
penguin that was lost.
The famous bird call of the penguin.
Hey, we're wasting time.
We are wasting time. We've got no time. Let's go.
One of the good guys, one of the best in the business, a bloke we say he's quadruple threat. Film, TV, radio. He's the best
dancing.
In the business.
Dancing. He can dance.
Now he's an author. Has been for a while, but the latest installment, his new book, Do Not Open This Book Ever, is out now and available in stores and online to talk us through. It's the great man himself. It's Andy Lee. Hello, Andy.
Mickey, Jane.
Hello.
your producer texted me and said, oh, I'm sorry, running a bit late. I was like, that's all right, no problem. And I was thinking, I wonder what it's been. And then you guys start up and there's 5-minute discussion about what bird it could have been. it's all the important stuff. I thought I was enjoying it. I thought it might have been an emu for mine, but obviously.
It's how much we respect our guests, Andy, and of the caliber of yourself. And we will quit. We will talk about your book right now. It's the fifth book in your series.
It'll be an emu chick.
See, he's on it. He's back to it again. Do not open this book ever. What we love about this title is whatever you say to a child or a man child. Do not touch this. Do not open this. Do not do this. Invariably, people will do it, and that has been the success of your series. Well done.
Absolutely. I mean, Mickey, how are you? Do you run a tight ship with your kids, mate? Are they doing what they're told for the most part?
No, they can't read.
They can. They can read. No, they duped you the other day, actually. They're smarter than you.
No, well, because they're twins, what I do, I only send one of them to school each day. And I only buy one set of books.
Oh,
so they take
and send the other to the school of hard knocks, ain't they?
Yeah.
Well, military college, it is.
Streetwise.
What ages is this for?
I reckon it can go from kind of 1 or 2 year olds all the way up to early 40s. It's just outside your age bracket.
Andy, what's
the
feedback?
Don't give away the ending. Don't give away the ending.
What's the feedback you've had? Because I see a lot on your Instagram, and it makes a lot of people happy. Do you like hearing that?
It is really nice. It's making people happy, particularly in lockdown. A few parents are relieved that they've got something else to leave their kids with or entertain their kids while they're doing some homeschooling. I get some messages. It's in a few languages around the world as well, so I get some messages from overseas, which is nice if I knew
what kind of languages? Well, what's it been? What different languages have been in?
It's in 35 different languages.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It's a bestseller in Portugal, in Japan. Mainly soccer-based countries, it seems like.
Do you do all the talking books in all the different languages?
Yeah, you know, of course I do, Mick.
Obrigado in Portuguese. Yes, well done.
I don't know. They might be letters of abuse, to be honest. I just assume they're nice.
And what about book signings? You'd be some pretty unruly book signings with some hopped-up kids, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, I've only done one in my life, and the kids got a bit disappointed. I took a stamp down, Nick, and just stamped it, you know.
At least a crayon, Andy. At least a crayon.
Hey, Andy, I've seen a photo of you on Instagram, and you're currently in Victoria. That's correct, in stage four lockdown. Yes. How has that affected the launch of your book, which was yesterday? What did you do for that?
I haven't been able to get anywhere. I did do a reading for some kids, which I thought I'd give them the exclusive, and they had asked me to dress up, and I got Beck to paint me completely blue and tried to emulate the character on the front of the book.
Okay, that's interesting. So where'd she get the blue from? Because I'm trying to work out when I saw that on Instagram.
This sounds like a stay off the brown acid kind of.
Is this one of Beck's moisturisers or a face mask? What is it?
No, we had an old swimming cap, which was blue, and then some blue paint left over from my nephews.
Yeah.
And when I got on the Zoom video conference, one of the kids on the Zoom went, "Yes!" And I was like, "Oh, why is that, Harrison? Why are you excited?" And he said, "I wanted you to be Sonic the Hedgehog, and you are." And I was like, "Yeah, that's close enough." But
Sonic the Hedgehog, you are a multitasker, my friend. Yeah, that's amazing. So,
essentially, I was just anything blue to them. It was a bit of choose your own adventure because I certainly didn't look like my own character.
And Heath McKenzie has done the illustrations, which are wonderful. How did the relationship start with Heath?
This whole thing came about because I was wanting to make one book, one singular book for my nephew, and I wrote it just for a birthday present. And then I reached out to Heath to illustrate that one book, and then it got published. So we've got a continuing relationship. It's been pretty fun because he's so clever that if I want Wiz, our character, making a facial expression, I take a picture of myself, a selfie, and I send it to him, and 5 minutes later, he sends it back to me with the facial expression of what I've given. So that's been a good experience. But, I think kids fall in love with the books because of the illustrations. I just don't tell Heath that because the royalties certainly don't reflect that.
Okay. Good now,
with your latest installment.
We're going to see you on the front bar soon, Mickey. When are we going to see you?
Next couple of weeks, you'll be back on deck.
Mick, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm sharing news from behind the scenes, but obviously, Kevin Sheedy's coming up. I'm not sure if you knew about this, but Kevin Sheedy's coming up. I was meant to be on, and Kevin said his preference would be Sam Pang. So, I don't know what beef. So I've been rested. I've been rested because what Sheedy says goes.
I don't know
whether Sheedy's got beef with me or what.
Don't be offended. Don't worry about it, Andy.
I'll tell you what. I'll take it out. I'll take it off. You and Sam can do it. I think that's probably the better way. And then you can have it out with him live on air. I'd love to see it. I'll give him a signed copy of your book.
Let me at him.
Hey, good on you, Andy.
Stay safe. Stay well in lockdown, Andy.
Congrats on the book, buddy. We'll catch up soon.
It's Andy Lee joining us. Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong. This is Kennedy Malloy.
He's a friend of our show. We only had him on last week. He is a war historian and author. It's Matt McLaughlin on Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, Matt, thank you for joining us again on the program. It's for a special reason and a good one at that. There's been a posthumous awarding of a VC to a young bloke called Teddy Sheehan. And this one's been in the balance for a while. It's been argued for some time. But the announcement was made finally to acknowledge his exploits in the field of battle. And we'll get to that with you in just a moment. But first, here's how it was announced last night by Scott Morrison.
I want to thank the family of Teddy Sheehan for their patience and their forbearance.
So very, very proud of his action. And hopefully this is it. We've got him recognised for what he deserves to get.
One of his family members there talking. Matt, can you explain to us, for anyone out there unfamiliar with the Teddy Sheehan story, why he deserves the highest military honour available to us?
Yeah, guys, I mean, it's a great story, isn't it? Teddy Sheehan was an 18-year-old. He was from Tasmania and in World War II enlisted in the Navy, and he was an anti-aircraft gunner on HMAS Armidale. And in November 1942, they were up in the Timor region and came under attack from Japanese aircraft. And the ship was hit by a couple of torpedoes and a bomb. It looked like it was sinking. There was a lot of men in the water who'd abandoned ship. The Japanese were coming in, strafing the blokes in the water. So Teddy Sheehan, rather than follow the order to abandon ship, he ran to his anti-aircraft gun, strapped himself in and started firing at the Japanese planes. And accounts vary about what he actually did, but it's pretty obvious he hit at least a couple of the planes and forced them to stop attacking the men in the water. But then sadly, as the ship sank, he went down with the ship.
He was still firing and still at manning his gun by eyewitness accounts as the ship went down?
Yeah, pretty extraordinary stuff, especially for such a young bloke. So, yeah, I mean, I've got to say, if there was ever going to be an award for the Victoria Cross, this one certainly ticks all the boxes.
What is the process, Matt, of getting a Victoria Cross, and how common are they? They don't hand it out very often, are they?
Yeah, not at all. There's only about 100 that have ever been awarded to Australians since the award was instituted in I think, 1856, the first Victoria Cross.
Well, this one's highly unusual because I think they've put this up before and it's been knocked back. They said there's new evidence, so I'd like to ask you what the new evidence is, and also poor, shoddy paperwork, I believe, when it was initially put up. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big issue, and I have to say, in general, I'm not a fan of us going back decades to look at records and deciding that someone made a mistake, you know, all that time ago, the people that were there on the scene. But I certainly think in this scenario, it's probably worthwhile because the point during wartime, what happens is that there's so much going on. You know, on this day when this action occurred, there could have been dozens of other things that were going on around the world as well. So it is possible for things to slip through the cracks, and people are busy trying to win a war. They haven't got time to go through paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. So normally what would happen is someone would be recommended for it. A panel would be held to assess the evidence and decide if it fits the criteria. It seems in this case that even though he was, you know, everyone knew that he'd done something pretty brave, the process just wasn't followed, you know, in the way that we would expect it to be. And so the new evidence that's come forth was from a recent panel. There actually was some Japanese evidence as well. The Japanese pilots reporting that they had to stop their attack because of anti-aircraft fire.
Well, that's what I heard. They went back through the Japanese records and logs and everything, and that evidence helped get this case across the line.
Yeah, look, I think what's happened is it's the politicians finally getting on board with public opinion because, as I said, even though I'm personally usually not a fan of this sort of thing, I think this one is actually pretty clear cut. The bloke gave his life defending his mates, you know, hit Japanese planes. It seems pretty straightforward to me.
A little bit of perspective too. He's 18 years old, and I'm trying to imagine 18-year-olds I know in that position. This is what they were thrown into in wartime.
Yeah, pretty extraordinary. We hear these stories.
I was working a bar in a hotel
right
in Frankston. Yeah. Well done. It's a great story, and everyone in Tasmania should be very proud. I think he served in Western Australia a fair bit. Is that true as well?
Yeah, and New South Wales too. He was based in Sydney for a while.
And New South Wales. I couldn't be happier for the family of Edward Teddy Sheehan getting the top gong for bravery.
Great name.
In it's not.
Isn't Teddy's it? A, I love that name, Teddy Sheehan. That's great.
So good on him. And next time you get down the War Memorial in Canberra, see his name added to the roll. Good on you, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt McLaughlin joining us there. And you can head to livinghistorytv.com to access great history podcasts and documentaries for free too.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Thanks to Crown Forklifts. It's the Encore range, which is guaranteed reliability, superior quality. Check them out at crown.com.
Well, there's lots to check out because not only do they have the electric counterbalance forklifts, can get your LPG and petrol forklifts. The best news is they cost a lot less than a new forklift because these are renewed, quality, renewed condition.
They've been given
beautiful
a cuddle.
Forklifts.
Yeah.
A total cuddle.
Loved up.
It's like a facelift.
Back out.
They've been pimped.
They have been pimped.
Oh, whoa.
That's
you're pimping
in
out,
a nice though. Way. Don't worry about that.
It's not a gets.
Okay. You can also
pick up your stupid gets.
Stupid.
Yes, it could pick up your gets, that's for sure. You can also get a forklift replacement and power guarantee. And also, here's other great news.
It's like dirty talk, Jane. You're talking.
All right, you ready?
Like, can you put some sexy music under that while Jane does information again?
They're also eligible, Mick, for the instant asset write-off.
Showing.
They cost a lot less than a new forklift.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay. Well, a lot less. That's thecrown.com. You
well
can go
done.
And check them out. Why don't you do that? Guaranteed reliability and superior quality.
Yep, crown.com.
Talk about sexy music.
And putting it down.
Thanks to crown.com. This is Kennedy Molloy.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
Hey, if you've missed any of today's show, what you can do is download the podcast. Easy to do, kennedymolloy.com.au.
How's our podcast going?
I haven't checked the numbers this week, so...
What have you been doing?
What am I supposed to? Am I now the digital podcast expert?
Well, you're very good at that stuff. It suits
Thank you,
Jane. To do it.
Are you driving home? Are you going to be looking at how many Ks?
I don't kind of want to drive it now. I feel like it's a really good number to be at because that's where it's sitting at right now. What do I...
But you've got
do
you to get
do you advertise
to the 200.
It for sale?
Do I do that now or do I wait for, you know, things to sort of ease up a bit with lockdowns and all? I don't know what to do.
If you don't shape up on this show, you'll be sleeping in that car soon. Because I'm just saying.
Do you think you'll be able to sell it? That's what I'm concerned
I don't know whether
about.
To keep it and just, you know, give it to my daughter when she gets her license.
I want
and
to make a sculpture out of it.
What about one
yard?
Of those crash-em-up derbies?
You know? Yeah, like a paddock basher or something, like a demolition
derby. With a motorbike helmet on.
Well, I'm not going to drive it.
Why
would you put me in that there? It says dangerous situations, the airbags.
Your name's Dangerous Dave.
Oh, sorry, Dangerous Dave.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
I don't want to go to the crash up derby. Who's on the show tomorrow?
Dave O'Neill is on the show tomorrow, everyone.
Dave
That's cool.
Bloody Neil.
We've got to, you know, you're not one of the masked singers, are you, Mick?
Me? I'm not.
Yeah.
He might
no,
be.
You're not.
Could he?
He could be. I had a feeling he might be.
Could be the wombat. Is there a wombat?
Yeah.
That
could be. All right.
Dave O'Neill will join us tomorrow right here. Kennedy Molloy.
Another Kennedy Molloy catch-up done and dusted for the Crown Forklifts Encore range. Guaranteed reliability, superior quality. Check them out at crown.com. No risk, no worries.